Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh. And I guess we can say the third time's a charm for this this Cowboy Chronicles.
We
tried twice on Twitter Spaces after the game, after Oklahoma State's 36-25 victory over Baylor. Wandering around outside McLean Stadium, the internet was not cooperating with us. So here we are in our hotel. We were gonna finally record one of these post game podcasts before midnight.
Yeah.
And
here we are at midnight.
Here it is after midnight now, and we're recording in the nice little dining room area of our hotel room.
I'm gonna promise you something. We're not that old,
right,
and gentlemen. We are not that old.
We're not. We know how technology works.
But here we are, struggling with this. I almost walked into the river, I think, outside the stadium. I got a little turned around, but we're gonna get this done.
We're about to have to fish you out of the Brazos. All right. Well, let's jump to it. Lots of stuff to touch on from this ball game. Lots of important events, lots of key individual plays, just a ton of stuff in this ball game. Again, a 36-25 Oklahoma State victory. Cowboys come in ranked number 9, Baylor number 16. Baylor was actually, I think, around a 2-point favorite by the time it was all said and done. But the Cowboys come into Waco and pull out the victory. Really, really impressive. What would you say, Jacob, sticks with you the most from what we saw earlier today at McLean Stadium?
The short yardage jumps out to me, but I think I'm going to go with special teams for now just because that unit was so dynamic no matter what it did. From Jaden Nixon's kickoff return touchdown to Brandon Presley's 50-yard return that set up another touchdown to Tom Hutton's punting. And I don't like to use the word electric for a punter, but he was electric today. You know, he pinned him on the 2 early, punting from Baylor's 39, which is still an idea that blows my mind. Stranded him again on the 5. Had 2 or more that were either downed or fair caught in the inside the 20. Mm-hmm. Out of 5 punts.
Yeah.
And that's big time. And you don't see that kind of punting change a game like it did today, but it just really felt like his punting along with the returns just kind of switched this whole thing towards OSU.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the one that was downed at the 2 by Braylon Presley. Next play, the defense gets a safety, the second safety of the season, second safety in 4 games, and they hadn't, what was it, 1991, the last time they had 2 safeties in a season? So, really big deal. You mentioned the short yardage stuff. I think when you're talking about the things from this game that are going to pay off long-term for this team, that's a really big one because there are going to be moments throughout the year where they're going to have to go and get a yard when they need a yard, and they prove to themselves more than anything that they can do that against a really good defensive line. They took on Siaki Ika, Jackson Player, those really good defensive tackles and defensive ends of Baylor, and went and got yardage when they had it. It was crazy watching Oklahoma State Twitter get a little bit nervous every time that we were tweeting about OSU being at the Baylor 1-yard line. But they converted. You had the 4th down and 1 on the first drive. You had they scored a touchdown a couple of plays later. You had Spencer Sanders quarterback sneak for a touchdown. Dominic Richardson diving over the top for a touchdown. We even saw DeAndre Jackson get his first carry as a Cowboy in a short yardage situation and convert a first down. So they lined up, played tough, and got a yard when they needed to get a yard. And as they get down the stretch with the tough situations they're going to face in this Big 12 season, a lot of times on the road in some of these games, it's going to be really important that they are able to do that. And I think that today was laying the foundation for something that they felt like has been a struggle for this program in recent years.
And Mike Gundy talked about that. He talked about how in the spring they'd worked a lot on that after the Baylor game in December, and they worked a lot on that in August in fall camp. So we finally saw it come through. And I got to give a shout out to Dominic Richardson standing up Ika like he did, right? Running through him on that one play was super impressive. And you could maybe kind of felt a little bit of aggression and payback let out there. And that one hit by Richardson there just kind of, you know, I remember you from last year really giving us problems that I'm going to show otherwise. It just seemed like OSU was so motivated and also maybe a little tired of hearing about Ika all week. And so they want to go out and prove that they could be tough and physical too.
With that, we'll kind of turn the page to some of the individual things that that stood out, and there were a lot of them. But Dominic Richardson is one of those, not just for that play when he took on Ika, basically head up and really won the battle. People are going to look at the stats and think it was a mediocre day for him. 24 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown. The longest carry that he had on the day was 10 yards, only averaged, 3 yards a carry, roughly. So you look at the numbers and you think, eh, but the yards that he was getting, the way that he was getting those yards, the importance of what he was doing in the hole or once he got through the hole and was taking on contact, seemed like he was always falling forward. Mm-hmm. He was always trying to punish somebody. And I mean, he earned each and every one of those 73 yards in this game, and they were all valuable.
Well, he looked like the every down back that OSU wants him to be, which I thought was super important. But the other thing is, too, is his numbers aren't going to pop off the page like you mentioned, but Baylor came in allowing 79 rushing yards a game.
Yeah.
And they came out and more than doubled that, which is super impressive against this defensive front. And Richardson was the big reason why. I mean, Spencer ran the ball really well, in the first half, didn't really run as much in the second half. But when you get that out of Richardson, you're going to wear down a defensive front a little bit too, because the offensive line, I think, proved tonight they could run block, because they hadn't really done much of that very well in the first three games. And so they came out there and really kind of did that, and I thought they protected Spencer overall pretty well too. So I think it's a good all around performance for the offensive line too.
It was big time. I didn't realize it till you brought up the every down back idea, and I went to see how many passes Richardson caught. He actually caught 4. So
first play of the game was to him,
right? Yeah,
on screen.
Yeah, he was number 2 in terms of receptions on the day. Brendan Presley led the team 8 for 86, and that was one that I expected a big day from him because of the fact that they were going to have to throw underneath as much as they did. And yeah, targeted 10 times, caught 8 for 86 yards, long of 19, which kind of surprises me. It seems a little short. I thought he had a couple of them that were a little bit longer than that, but nonetheless, a big day. Spencer Sanders, 181 passing yards, 75 rushing yards, a touchdown on each. So solid. He didn't have too many plays that wowed you, though he had a couple of runs that were pretty impressive at some important times. But really reliable. Had the one pick.
The one pick.
Yes, exactly. One. That's the key number.
On a decision they said was the right decision, just the good play by the defender to jump the route.
Right, exactly. That's how Gundy described it.
And Spencer had great throws, too. And think about the throw to Bryson Green early for the touchdown on the first drive. And the throw to Braden Johnson was good, too. That Johnson went up and got. And then I still think of that throw that he made to Presley that was – that long throw that looked like he had no chance to complete, and he lofted up there, and Presley dove and caught it. That was such a great throw. Yeah,
Presley had a guy behind him, and there was a shallow defender that was drifting back. He dropped it right in between the two of them. I thought that was a really impressive throw. You brought up special teams earlier, but since we're on the topic of individual performances, come back to that briefly. Jaden Nixon with the 98-yard kickoff return. Was an incredible play. When a guy stumbles at midfield on a play like that, you kind of think the play is over.
Yeah, he's going to fall.
And he not only regained his balance, but he outran everybody from that point. And that was impressive. Mike Gundy alluded to the fact that, you know, he's a guy that it only takes him a couple of steps to get back to full speed. And he definitely showed that at that point. So that was incredibly impressive. Bryson Green had two really important catches, one that was for a touchdown on the fade, and then another one that set up a field goal.
The save John Paul Richardson's throw was not great.
Exactly, yeah. I mentioned looking at the stats with Dominic Richardson. You look at the stats with John Paul Richardson. Hey, he threw a pass for a completion for 32 yards.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah, exactly. Should have been 33 and a touchdown. But that's how it goes sometimes. I mean, that's it's already tricky when it's a receiver throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got quarterback blood in him. His dad was a quarterback, but. He's a lefty, so he's taking the reverse, running to his left, and throwing on the run, and it just kind of drifted.
It lofted on him. It just kind of hung up there. And
yeah.
Bryson, I thought there's no way he's going to keep his foot in bounds, and he did. That was impressive.
He absolutely did. Really some big time stuff. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, they had two interceptions in the fourth quarter that turned out to just be massive. Baylor was they were going for it and succeeding on fourth downs.
They had no intention to ever punt the ball again. They may not punt again the rest of the season. I don't know.
They might be done.
Their punter is going to transfer portal tomorrow. Yeah.
But Thomas Harper comes up with one on a bobbled pass, mm-hmm. and then Jason Taylor just made a Jason Taylor play.
He was due. He missed one earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Because we thought he was going to get the one on the 49-yard touchdown pass mm-hmm. over the top, and he mistimed his jump entirely.
Yeah.
And it was a clean touchdown. But mm-hmm. he made up for it with that one.
Yeah, he did. That was a big-time save. Both of those coming in the fourth quarter. This defense hadn't picked off a pass since the season opener mm-hmm. against Central Michigan. So to come up and get those two clutch turnovers in the fourth quarter was really important.
And after the game, Jason said, like, these things come in bunches, so maybe this mm-hmm. might be the start of a little bit of the secondary picking it up a little bit
right.
on that.
Yeah, could be. But you had a feeling that the safeties were going to be important because of the way Baylor runs that offense, the way they use their tight ends, which they didn't really do a whole lot. I mean, Ben Sims caught six passes, but just 33 yards.
Dropped the one into Thomas Harper's arms.
Yes, exactly. So, really solid late play from the defensive secondary in that realm. Defensive line, I thought, was really good again. Mm-hmm. Derek Mason did not do a lot to try to get pressure. There was a lot of three-man, four-man mm-hmm. rushes, particularly early. Tried to do a little bit more in the second half, it seemed like. But overall, they kept good containment, got in his face some, got a couple of sacks. Colin Oliver got him another one. Brock Martin got about as easy a sack as you're going to see.
Brock Martin scared Blake Chapin into that sack. Yes. He really did. He looked he was coming hard, and Chapin just crumbled to the ground. Which, without details, Brock Martin was not happy about that. So, but he'll take the sack and move on.
Yeah, yeah. They need a category for that scare sack.
Yeah, scare sack. Yeah.
They need
I got to point out Trace Ford on this defensive line talk too.
Right.
When he bull rushed the right tackle there for Baylor was one of the most impressive things I saw all night. He pushed him back, 15 yards maybe?
Very possible.
That guy had no chance whatsoever, and Ford just kept pushing him. He almost went, was it Little Giants, and you push him all the way and you keep running right. with him? He almost went Little Giants on him. It was incredible. And that was that part of the play where Lacey and everyone started chasing, shaping around?
Shaping that was retreated. All, Lacey comes in, Ford gets back in the mix, and
Martin I think was there too, right, maybe like or it. Oliver, one of those two. It wasn't all four of them on the field at the same time. It might have been Oliver. They were hitting Chapin's running for his life, mainly because the tackle almost went with him. Mm-hmm. So it was that was one of the craziest plays.
Yeah, Xavier Benson had his first game as the leading tackler for this mm-hmm. defense. He had 10 stops. Jason Taylor had 9. I really thought Mason Cobb might have had some of the most important plays.
Oh, man, his fourth down stop early
right.
in the game when they were on the 7,
mm-hmm.
then he was one-on-one and could have easily get up a touchdown there instead, and he was the last spot, and, man, that was a hell of a play.
That was a big-time moment. So really good stuff from the defense, obviously. 25 points, it, still sort of in the mindset of what this defense was a year ago. Mm-hmm. 25 feels like a lot, but it's really not that bad. It was really a pretty solid performance. Obviously, Baylor threw for a lot of yards, but to limit the point production to what they did, really, really pretty solid.
So, it was a bend, not break kind of day.
It was one
and
of
the
those
first days. Half was really good. You think about it, they held them to 3 points.
Right.
So it was that third quarter where things kind of got away from them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, you know, Barry Trammell wrote about this for the paper, but it was a very odd game in terms of the nature of the two halves. The first half was what we saw from OSU Baylor last year, mm-hmm. Both games really. And then Mike Gundy pointed out the third quarter was like a video game. So it was a really, really pretty crazy deal. All right, well, that leaves Oklahoma State waiting for Texas Tech to come to town a week from now. Obviously, we'll be back for our Tuesday spot at Stone Cloud Brewing Company, and we'll break down all of our thoughts on that coming game, and share with you some of the behind the scenes stuff from what players have to say on Tuesday night after practice and all those sorts of things. But we got to touch on the most important thing I forgot before we shut it all down here.
Oh man,
we touched forgot. On a lot. So I might have for the first time in the history of the podcast, I might have not forgotten anything. It's absolutely possible.
That is tough. Maybe we got to talk about Tyler Lacy briefly.
Yeah.
Going in and
that's
out.
That's a good one.
He had some good push, and then he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. It looks like we had no idea he was hurt.
Right.
Until Dylan Buckingham from Channel 4 tweets a picture of him being carted off for halftime, and then he misses, a series and comes back. And I thought his exchange with Derek Mason was pretty good, saying, winking at him and things like that.
So. Yeah. Mason said he checked on him, said Lacy said he was doing just fine, and gave him a wink, and Mason didn't dig any further into it at that point.
Kept calling him big fella. I like it. That's true. He's a big fella.
Yeah, he especially next to Mason.
Yeah,
I'm almost a big fella. You get me next to Mason, so not quite, but almost. All right. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and shut it down. Thank you to everybody who listened. Thanks. And our apologies to those of you who tried to listen to our Twitter spaces. Hopefully we don't have that technical issue again, whether it was Wi-Fi at the stadium or whatever might have been causing our difficulties there. We apologize. But thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for hanging out for another episode of the Cowboy Chronicles. We will talk to you from Stone Cloud on Tuesday.